regardless of the outcome. Boost of positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meals. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers eating fresh shrubs. Call me private label, I'll be.
Welcome to episode 106 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, the only pimp cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. I love you, son.
Love you, too.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Yeah, because I can. I can say that. No, before this, y'all, there was a, you know, we'll get into it here in a minute, but, well, you know what? I'll just cover that in the farm news. So, y'all, as always, this episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also, Heaven's Harvest, y'all, 10% off with promo code PERMA. P-E-R-M-A. Seeds are bombing out there, and I mean in a good way. That was slang, y'all. For some of the older folks out there, it's the bomb, and I don't mean they're blowing up in a bad way. They're doing really, really good. All your preparedness needs, you can find them over there at Heaven's Harvest. Promo code PERMA. Don't forget to tip a pimp over there on the Fountain app, where you can listen to all your podcasts right after you check out the Permaculture Pimp Cast. Leave us messages and leave us some sats. I'm not even going to try to pronounce whatever that word is because I always get it wrong. It's Stastoshi.
Stastoshis, apparently.
Stastoshis. All right, y'all. Tip of the day. Seek selfless people. Does that even need a requirement for me to explain? Look, I was on the phone the other day with, actually the last couple of days with a couple of selfless people. One of them, extremely selfless guy, he and his wife, and they're both registered nurses. They both have a YouTube channel at Strand Farm. And he was over there getting me tightened up on, we're going to do like a longer term fast. He's done them very long term. He and his wife, and they've had, you've heard us talk about them before. Go check them out on their YouTube channel. Believe me, you're going to be glad you did. And
yeah, check out Ashley's healing from the fasting. That's incredible.
When they next time they come around, we're going to get them both on here if we can get them. I know Ashley may be tough to get in the studio, but James, we'll get him to open up a little bit. The dude's just so doggone wicked smart about so many things. And you learn, or at least I learn so much every time I'm around him. And it's like, I need the audience to hear what he says because he can take the most complex subjects and distill them down to where any human being alive can understand them.
Yeah. Like an advanced, like virology theory. He's breaking down for us. So where farmers understand.
But going back to those selfless people, I won't go into the reasons how or why, but believe me, they are the consummate definition of selfless. I was on the phone with Don. He's one of the listeners in the audience, and I'm looking forward to hearing him. You know, he's actually going to come on the show, and he's going to have a surprise. I don't want to tell him. I don't want to, you know.
Spoil the surprise.
Yeah, I don't want to mess that up. But I'm really looking forward to talking to him on the show. Really low-key dude that, you know, I'm pretty sure that if we were neighbors, man, we'd get along just great. And then, you know, I'm doing work the other day, and I'm doing a little bit of side work, okay? And out there, they're building a planter box. I'm doing a little bit of electric work anyway. And they're building a planter box because typically the junkies that come over there are usually... So they're building this planter box thinking...
Whoa, hold on. They're usually what?
Well, they're usually malingering there, but this planter box is in a place where they can no longer malinger.
Yeah.
And they're doing it because they're worried about the kids that are walking up and down that road so they don't have to encounter these junkies. Now, these are all... I mean, man, it seems so hard to find so many times you turn around. And these are people that are very busy, as you know already.
Oh, yeah.
They do not have spare time. And then every time you turn around, you meet selfless people that do incredible selfless things. And we're going to talk about that in the main topic today. But just keep that in your mind. Try, if there's a person that's me, then we ought to run the other way a lot of times. There's no shortage of narcissists in this world. But when I come across these selfless people that just do incredible things like Don and the contribution he made, you know, that he's made and a number of others to try to rescue these kids,
yeah,
man, it just brings tears to my eyes when I know that there are so many awesome people out there putting themselves and their self-interest on the back burner for the benefit of so many others. And I can't wait to meet even every time we go to one of these festivals or whatever, you meet a bunch more of them. And then right when you think you met them all and you have like nothing but contempt for humanity because you see what's on TV, you go out there in the real world, you come across even more and then more and more. Folks, what I'm trying to point out is seek those selfless people. They are out there, and I'm always glad and just overjoyed and thankful to the good Lord every time I meet them. So,
but also make sure you're one of those people too. Don't be the selfish person looking to screw over the selfless person.
Well, there's no shortage of those. And boy, I could definitely do an entire show on that. So into the farm news. So what I was getting at in the beginning, y'all, there's times where we have disagreements around here. And when you hear things only in the podcast or the YouTube format, the problem with that format is that you don't necessarily get the behind the scenes, the arguments, the trying to figure out what direction to go, what to do, how you're being stifled, how to overcome it, all these things that happen behind the scenes. And so we have these, sometimes, you know, they're bitter arguments and disagreements about direction and where we're going, or, hey, we're not on the same sheet of music, or we ought to have these things. And you got to constantly edify. It's like whenever William was little, I always, no matter when I had to discipline him, I always tried to reinforce the love. Something that never happened to me when I was growing up. You know, you get your butt wore out.
Yeah, because that's what you want to hear after you get spanked. Look, yeah. I'm doing this because I love you.
Yeah, bam.
That's
yeah.
what you understand.
But no, I mean, for you, you weren't a kid we had to spank. Not very often. I mean, and in fact, if you got to spank a kid every day, I don't think you got a kid problem. You got a parenting problem. And in fact, the only thing that got you corporal punishment was really mistakes never did it. It was lying. Or blatant disobedience.
Yeah, I never got in trouble for making mistakes. No, that was never anything. Which also might be the reason I'm not afraid to screw up now.
Well, yeah, there is. You know, I didn't think about that. But lying and blatant disobedience would get you wore out. But, you know, never abuse. But it was always the act of it that, I mean, I'm not really trying to get into that. What I'm trying to really say is when you get down to brass tacks in a lot of this, you're going to have, especially when you work as a family, you see each other every day. You do this stuff every day. If you're not careful, you're not considering the direction you're on. And if you don't have joint goals and directions, you're going to find yourself, maybe you'll have a meeting and then you're on the same sheet of music for a week, maybe two. But then if you don't have clearly defined goals, places you're trying to do, ways to overcome things, because there's things we can't talk about right now, but there are things we are trying to overcome. And part of it is being stifled. And that brings me in this. Okay. So we got this thing in YouTube, in the mail. You want to tell them what it is?
Oh, the 100,000 subscriber award. We ended up getting one of those silver plaques in the mail. Which was funny because we didn't have to write in. We didn't have to notify them, letting them know we got it to 100,000 or anything. They contacted us and asked us like, hey, do you guys want this award? What do you guys want us to write on it? And all this stuff.
So here's the point of contention I have with it is, why? I mean, when he asked me what about it, I was ambivalent. I was like, I don't care. I mean, I really don't care about their stupid award. The thing that burns me up in the first place is I know how much they're stifling not only us, but a lot of the other people out there. You're going to tell me pinball preparedness just hit 100,000 and then just all of a sudden everybody just dropped off? You're going to tell me that the Holler Homestead, they hit whatever number they're at and then all of a sudden their fan base drops off? The scales are weighted. And it aggravates me to no end. So I'm like, I'm supposed to what? Be thankful that you graciously gave me 100,000. First of all, it was never about the numbers. And I've said that from the word go. I didn't get excited when we hit 100,000. I'm just thinking, okay, what video can I do next to weed out all the people that are on for the wrong reasons?
The reason I'm asking what to do with the award is because I'm wanting to shoot it or something.
Well, yeah, that's what he was saying. Like, hey, make a video and shoot this thing. And I'm like, you know, I'm okay if you throw it in the trash, because it was never about that. Like I said in that last video, like a front porch talk I did, it was never about getting 100,000 or a million people. It's about getting the right people, finding other people out there like allies. To a certain extent, what I do, at least on that YouTube channel, when I do the front porch thing, it's cathartic. I'm actually getting off my chest besides saying it to William or Michelle or anybody else that's around here, I'm saying it to other people out there, and I'm realizing I hear a collective amen, because I know that I'm not the only one that's thinking this stuff. I know that I'm not the only one that cares about this stuff. And then when they hand me this stupid plaque that says congratulations on 100,000, I'm like, look, Jack, who are you kidding?
Yeah.
Because you're not going to tell me that we're getting 1,000 subscribers a day, and then overnight we go down to 11? Come on. I'm not, I mean, you're challenging my intelligence. And what, I'm supposed to thank my slave master? I don't think so. So we're constantly looking at other ways to get off the YouTube plantation. I like the modality. I love the part of it that I'm able to communicate to all these people out there that are looking, like Don. I spoke to him on the phone. Wonderful guy. And I don't want to get ahead of myself or get out in front of my skis, but there's a lot of people making that transition from the life they had to the life they want. And that's where YouTube had its most utility. And then the podcast was a means to get around YouTube. And then I'm thinking,
to talk about what we want to talk about without getting canceled or deplatformed or anything like that.
Right. But knowing that the day is almost certainly around the corner, we're looking at other modalities to get the word out. Because, I mean, I don't know how many people make a living off of YouTube income alone, but we ain't one of them.
Yeah, YouTube. That's what I was kind of wondering. It was like, how do these people, like at certain stages, I'm wondering how they do it full, how they do YouTube by itself full time.
Well, yeah.
Without outside product to sell or anything like that.
Or even without that, I mean, there's other, like I said, I'm doing electric work on the side. I got a plan B that I really love doing as long as I'm not working for somebody else. I'm not a good employee, okay? You know, I'm really good at what I do, but I like working for me. And so I'm thinking, so going back full circle with this, we have differences as far as one person thinks we're going one direction. One person, especially when you work with your family. So look, I guess another good tip out there is find unified goals that you can all look at every single day and know that you're shooting toward that direction. Because honestly, that's been a fundamental lack of what we've been making. I mean, that's a big mistake that we've been making around here. So that's one of the big things in the farm news. So Michelle's back, and typically whenever any one of us goes out of town, it's always a matter of playing catch up. And with her, it's a big deal because she handles so many behind the scenes things, business things, a lot of things that really she's just superb at, and she's the only one that does it. Well, whenever somebody goes away, it also lets you know the chinks in the armor. Like, who's going to send out these orders when her and Kendra are both gone?
Yeah. Yeah, so, that one especially is really, like, Mom set up that whole system, and then Kendra kind of, I guess, adopted it or took it over or something like that.
Yeah, she improved it, actually.
Yeah. And, but, like, me and Dad have no idea what's going on with shipping.
I don't have a clue. I mean, I really don't. But it identifies another one of those areas in which you're short. So when you work together, when you have a family business, when you do a number of things together, and like I said, I don't reveal every way we make money because it insulates me to a certain extent. Because even if they do scrub me off of YouTube, which, you know, is likely going to happen if you say the wrong thing. I was listening to the Texas Boys on with Mike Adams, and when you hear what happened to them, I mean, so they're at 99,000. I want to get these guys over here just to get them over 100,000. You're at 99,000, and you're just telling me all your support just stopped right then and there? I mean, come on, man. This is, and I'm supposed to be thankful about your stupid award.
The support should get stronger the bigger you get. Like, you should get more subscribers per day the bigger you get. It shouldn't start, like, we shouldn't get, like, more subscribers per day at 10,000 than we do at 100,000.
Especially when you have a how-to YouTube channel, when the biggest growing segment of our society right now is people getting back to the land.
With a catalog of over 500 videos.
Yeah, and it's not fluff. I mean, most of our videos are how-to. So if anything, the numbers ought to be going up. But we're going to try to find some ways to reach more people. And I'm trying, y'all. I really am. And it's a frustration when YouTube has the nerve to say, it's a plaque.
Yeah.
Have a nice plaque. So, okay, I'll leave that alone right now, but y'all.
So if you guys have ideas of what we should do with the award, let us know.
Yeah, yeah, because it ain't hanging up on these walls. No, man.
Unless it has a hole through it.
Yeah, hey, maybe we'll do that. Yeah, maybe we'll shoot it and then hang it up. Yeah, don't do me no favors. I mean, I'm like, you're stifling everybody out there that's trying to do worthwhile stuff. But meanwhile, the idiot out there, you know, or some lady who does chores in a bikini, she's out there. Yeah, you'll go watch that.
And who are the simps? Who are the simps wasting their time? Guys, if you are that guy watching that video, you need some of Shelly's soap because you're a simp. And you need to just stay off YouTube. Because that, like, I just don't get it. You're going to waste your time and watch somebody else garden in a bikini.
Yeah, or this one naked. She's out there naked. I'm like, come on, man. I just flipped through that garbage, and I'm like, okay, man, if this is what you got to do to put butts in seats, then guess what? I'm a really good electrician. I make a really nice living doing what I do, working for me, man.
You're going to do it with just a tool belt on?
Yeah, I'm going to go out
there. The naked electrician.
Yeah, you know what? I ought to do that, man. I'm going to go out there in a tool belt. I'll tell you what. Let them start up that mask, man.
Yeah, you'll be the naked restaurant critic.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly.
Looks like you guys are getting a bad review.
Yeah, yeah, I guarantee I will make a viral video somewhere or the other next time they decide to put another mask mandate in there. I ain't going to tell you how, but it's going down. And I mean my clothes. Yeah, I'm going to have to do this at night because kids ain't going to be around for this. All right, so little Thuggy the cat, man, she's out there killing everything. She caught a bunny. Dogs are going crazy. This little cat snatched up an entire bunny.
The same size as her.
Yeah, drags it up on the porch. Bunny tries to get away. Nope, you ain't going nowhere. I hear these dogs on the inside going nuts. I get out there, and Thuggy's got a hold of this. Let's the rabbit go. And like, go ahead and move. And this rabbit will hop. Bam, she's on it. I get out there, I take a video of this, and I'm like, okay, yeah. But, man, I'm telling you what, ain't no rodent problems around here. That's what happens when you get a feral cat.
And that cat is heavy. That is a dense little cat.
Yep. And then as soon as you run her, I mean, it's like she's been killing all night long. But, hey, ain't no sweet potato problems now, man. She's killing it. I mean, woe unto the rats around here.
Yeah.
All right, real quick, y'all, comfrey do's and don'ts. Because we've been getting a lot of this lately. If you buy any comfrey, y'all, please do not put it in potting soil, worm compost. It does better in marginal soil. So, I mean, I know we send instructions and everything. People probably just, you know, like most guys, you get a hold of something and you don't look at the instructions. You're thinking, okay, I can put this cabinet together. And you just start putting it together. But do not put it in potting soil. That's 90% of the problem. Two number one problems why it doesn't come up. Number one, people don't water it. Or number two, you put it in potting soil. And it's right there in the instructions. So just keep an eye out for that.
Wait, isn't comfrey a brassica?
I don't know.
For some reason, I vaguely think it is. It might not be. But if it is, don't brassicas hate? Don't they prefer actinobacteria?
Well, yeah, brassicas are not going to like highly fungal.
Maybe that's why they do well in...
Yeah.
I'll have to double check to make sure they're brassicas. Yeah,
I'd like to know myself, technically. I'm betting it might be.
Because then that would make sense as to why it doesn't like good soil.
Yeah, yeah, because brassicas, I mean, it's not that they don't like good soil. They just don't like fungal soil. They prefer something that's more bacterially dominated. But most other things are generally going to like something 50-50. Well, at least your pasture. It all depends on what you're growing. So, yeah, y'all, with that said, I want to remind you, remember, Heritage Life Skills, that's going to be coming up July 21st through the 23rd. I'll be out there along with William Forstgen. I mean, that's like saying Michael Jackson's going to be there and Tito's singing backup. But, I mean, hey, I'll be there.
which one are you, Dad?
Yeah, I'm Tito. I'm definitely Tito. Yeah, the man who wrote One Second After is going to be there. So you're going to want to check that out if you're in the area. And then remember, Kentucky Sustainable Living, October 28th and 29th. So we got to start announcing this stuff in the YouTube videos as well. It's a little far off for the Kentucky Sustainable Living. But remember, they're going to have a charity dinner up there. Proceeds are going to go to trying to get 10 G's, y'all, to do an operation from Veterans for Child Rescue in Kentucky. You're going to want to be there. And you're going to want to listen to today's show to go into all the reasons why. So with that said, y'all, I want to remind you, before I get into good news, bad news, we recorded this earlier today for a number of reasons. So we don't have a download from Pastor Lon, but believe me, it, whatever it is, I guarantee it's going to be awesome. We'll save it for next show. Remember, $50 off EMP Shield with promo code PERMA. Do I even need to talk about the reasons why? Look, be there, be square. Those things ain't cheap, but nothing worth having is. All right, y'all.
And you don't have to buy it again. Okay, so I was wondering about this. If you get struck by lightning, if your house gets struck by lightning and it gets blown off the wall, do you have to buy another EMP shield or they replace it?
I think it's going to cost you $50.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's $50 and you get a new one. But, I mean,
that's cool.
Yeah, so that's pretty impossible to beat. I think it's $50, but honestly, if you blew up anything downstream, they cover it for $25,000. So that's kind of hard to beat, you know?
Yeah.
So bad news, good news section today is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to do the good news first and the bad news last. Trust me, got reasons for that. So RFK Jr., man, that dude, I'm just going to tell you straight up, I was something of a political analyst in a former life. I'm telling you right now, if he were to go on a debate stage with anybody, he would mop the floor with all of the above, and I don't care who they are. Now, I don't know where he stands on some other real critical issues that mean something to me, but man, I'm telling you what, he is saying all the right things, at least from my liberty standpoint. I don't know where he is on the Second Amendment. I heard it was good, but I haven't directly heard it yet.
And abortion.
I don't know where he stands on that. I don't, you know, these are critical things that matter to me, but you know, they tried to, I guess he was on CNN or one of these News Nation or whatever the case, they had RFK in there. And if you look at how lucid this guy is on foreign policy, on domestic policy, he would mop the stage in a fair debate between, I don't care, whoever you put in front of him right now, he would literally mop the floor with all of them. And he does not care, at least in his response concerning all of these pro-war Democrats and pro-war Republicans, or as Jesse Ventura calls them, Republicans and Democrips. Democrats and Republicans. I can never say Republicans. But anyway, that's what he called them. Because he was on this interview, and I wish I had time to play it all. It was on News Nation, and he dropped tactical nukes on both sides concerning this whole thing that's going on right now over in Ukraine. He talks about the left and the right, and how they are both in it together. He's saying all the right things. Is this guy legit? Look, I don't know. Like I said, I need some critical answers. But I love the fact that he is down there crapping on all of the above, and he is not, excuse me, he is not caring one bit, not one bit, that he's stepping on the toes of all these sacred cows in both parties.
If you had to guess right now, if you had to put money on it, which do you think he's winning or not?
If all things were fair, which we know,
no. Like in the world we live in right now, do you think he wins? Do you think he's going to win or not?
I think honestly, man, I'm really trying to be careful of what I speak into this world. But if you look at John F. Kennedy, you look at his dad, Robert Kennedy, and you look at where they stood on things, I think he is a better orator than both of them. I think he is better. He is more lucid on his feet than both of them, certainly in better shape than both of them. If all things were fair, he would win the presidency hands down. Number one, he's got that Kennedy name. Number two, I haven't heard a person speak more lucidly on foreign policy than him. And he's saying this from a liberty-minded perspective that nearly all of thinking America could relate to in terms of foreign policy. What I'm afraid of, I don't even want to say it out loud. I really don't want to say it out loud. But they have this thing called the Kennedy curse. And let's be honest, they were all murdered.
Well, yeah.
And he said something once in an interview, and it was something with Oliver Stone, where it said an awful lot about his character, where he was talking about his uncle and he was talking about his dad. And he said regarding them, and this is coming straight from his mouth, that he said, you know, both of them thought that there were things worth dying over.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm of that You know, Gandhi said there are things worth dying over. There are things that I will die over, but there's not a single thing I'm prepared to kill for. Now, that's where I disagree with Gandhi. I mean, I'm not a pacifist. I'm nonviolent, but I'm not a pacifist. I live by the non-aggression principle, which basically means don't start no SH and there won't be no IT. And when I hear what's coming out of his mouth right now, I pray for this guy. At least I need to start praying for him. And I'm also fearful, because what I'm afraid of is that this guy, he is saying all the right things. He would unify more people, but is he going to get a fair shake? I don't know. I don't worship at the grounds of, and I'm hoping this dude is actually for real. But these days we find out a person is for real right after they kill him.
Now, here's another question, and something that other people are probably thinking about now. Does anything for us change if he's elected president? Like, do we change? Does our plan change at all if
not
he's elected president?
Not one bit, but I'll tell you what's going to happen.
Yeah.
If RFK were to get in office, and let's say he were to do and straighten out and get rid of all these things that they call national security, if he were to actually get in there and they managed to not kill him, your life and my life doesn't change at all. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if Trump gets back into office, if we even have an election, I mean, the last one wasn't honest. I don't know why anybody would think this next one would be, or even, you know, the process is up to that, the primaries or whatever. Here's what's going to happen. Let's say Trump gets back in there. Overnight, all these people, this homesteading movement, every time they're going to 50% are going to go right back into the matrix. I promise you.
You don't think that happens if RFK becomes president?
Yeah, I think that same thing happens.
Okay.
I think that same exact thing happens. If RFK or Trump gets into office and the powers that shouldn't be don't, you know, start World War III, whatever the case may be, the thing about a very awful person in office, and, you know, who hasn't been as of late, is that when awful people are in there, people are vigilant. They wake up. And then when there's somebody in there that's, let's say, a Republican, then all of a sudden, those same people that were once into preparedness now go right back into the matrix. There's this flip-flop. I'm in this for the long haul. This is, like Jack Spirko says, this is a way to live if times get tough or even if they don't. And this is my life. This is how I live. This is the way we live. This is the way our family lives. But I would just love, the dream side of me is hoping, I think RFK knows that he's not going to get a fair shake, but you know what he is doing? He is making people, at least on the left to some extent, and maybe some of the honest people on the right, to reconsider all these sacred cows that no politician ever talks about. Because like he said, hey, y'all, I need money. I'm actually thinking about donating money to this dude, because not one corporate backer is behind him. Not one. Yeah. Not the big banks, not anybody. And I almost want to give him money, even though I know he's going to get screwed, because I know that he is injecting, even though he has a major speech problem or voice problem, that dude is injecting pills. What do you call that? The red pill?
Truth pills?
Yeah, red pill. What's that one made?
I don't remember which one's
okay,
good
so
or bad.
Okay, so let's say it's the red pill. He's red pilling people left and right, talking about things that no other politician is willing to talk about. And he's going on platforms where you wouldn't expect him.
Yeah.
I mean, he is getting the word out, and he is getting people to think, regardless of who's in that White House. I love what he's saying, and I love the fact that he didn't just kowtow to a CNN audience and say what he thought they wanted to hear. He said no. And he's telling them chapter and verse, Russia is not the aggressor here. Russia tried to do the right thing twice. And our State Department, our country, screwed this up. He is giving chapter and verse who said what, when they said it, how they said it, and exactly what they said. No other politician out there is doing that, and I am thankful that RFK Jr. is at least out there doing it. You know, I know they murdered John F. Kennedy. Anybody with any sense knows he's got murdered, and he was shot from the front. RFK was murdered, his dad. That thing at Chappaquiddick, you got to find out who was on that island also. The same people, a lot of people don't know this, that were involved in Watergate, two of those people were on that same island when Ted Kennedy, you know, got tied up with the whole Chappaquiddick thing. A lot more to that story. JFK Jr. examined his death. All the, quote, anomalies that happened. There's a book out there called The Inheritance. And I really think you ought to check it out. And it's an angle on the JFK assassination that you never heard about. JFK Jr. had that same evidence with him, supposedly, when that plane went down. I won't go into, I can't go into all of that right now, even though I know there's a large segment of this audience that wants to hear this type of thing. Believe me, I could go on about it chapter and verse. JFK Jr., look, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, he was murdered too. And I'm just hoping RFK Jr. keeps putting out what he's putting out. I'm actually going to give some money to this dude. I really think I am just to, I know he's never going to get past the primary, but if he can get, if he can keep out there on this stump and keep dropping these truth bombs, look, man, I'm in it for at least that much.
Well, then it begs the question, like, how did he live this long?
You know what I mean? Well, up until now, he was only, he was in the Child Legal Defense Fund or whatever it was, where he's basically going after autism. And you know who else he's going to go after too? Pharmaceuticals. Because wow, nobody knows, he wrote the book on Fauci, literally. RFK Jr.
Literally.
He literally wrote that book on Fauci. So what do you think he's going to do if he had the opportunity to get in? I mean, y'all, we just all need to be praying for this guy. Like I said, I have no illusions that he will ever get a fair shake in the primary. But he is out there dropping tactical nukes of truth. And people will listen to him. Number one, because his name is Kennedy. Number two, because I don't think there's a, there ain't a politician out there running for president that could hold a candle in a debate with this guy. Not even close.
No.
Even if he's on the wrong side of it, I guarantee he will mop the floor with everybody out there. The more I see out of him, I, look, y'all, I spent way too much time on this. Another good news article. Let me just jump into that right now. Cheaper than water. Retailers try to unload Bud Light. They're selling bottled water cheaper than they can get rid of Bud Light. And you know the thing about it? Transheiser-Busch, that the CEO, is doubled down. This fool got on there on CNN or one of them things, basically saying, instead of saying, yeah, you know, we're going to go in a different direction, we've really screwed up here, he just doubled down. He just doubled down.
Even
saying,
he's tired of drinking Bud Light. He's like, man, this stuff sucks.
This is one complete dummy. And look, I mean, I'm sad on one end because these, a lot of people are employed by Anheuser-Busch. A lot of them. And now I hear Coors has gone woke. It's sad because they don't even care about the fallout of all the people out there that are losing their jobs or going to be laid off, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
That burns me up. And this CEO.
But not just the people that work for, like, not just the people that work for Bud Light themselves, though, but also the distribution.
Well, that's what this article's about, yeah. The distribution houses. Man, they're taking it in the shorts. Because now what do they do with this product?
Yeah.
It ain't like you can relabel it.
Or, no, not even that. Like, let's say you have, like, you own a small-time distribution center, right? And you're, like, the your main customer, the guy who employs, like, 60% of your employees and stuff, is Bud Light. Like, the mostly what you ship is Bud Light. And if Bud Light goes out, well, you're going to have to downsize or shut down because the main thing you were moving before is no longer there. Yeah. Or nobody's buying it. So now you're stuck with these, like, little mom-and-pop sodas and stuff like that, like around here in North Carolina, instead of having your main, you know, client.
Yeah, well, I mean, it tells you that there is, when you see all these companies doing the one thing, they're catering to the 1% of 1%. That's the trans community. So Transheiser-Busch decides they're going to go ahead and side with them, knowing full well it's going to tank everything. Same thing with Target. Same thing. So then you got to ask yourself, the Black Rocks, the State Streets, the Vanguards, the ones that own, you know, they don't have to own just one company. They got major shareholders in all these companies.
Yeah.
So when all these companies are doing things that do not make sense, you got to ask yourself the reason why. There's a greater thing at play here. So here's a change in the show, y'all. Bad news I'm going to save for when we come back from this break.
Looking at all for the food too. Analytics they used to recruit you. Yours opinion that says
All right, so I've saved the bad news segment for what we have coming up right now. We have a guest coming on. He's from Vets for Child Rescue. Folks, you're going to want to check them out. His name is Forrest Seeley, and we're going to get into him in a moment, but right off, this is just fresh off the presses. It's a couple of minutes long. I want to play it, and it's going to be self-explanatory for what we're getting into.
And then there's Paul Val. He's 40 from Davenport. He's married. He works at Disney World at Cosmic Rays Restaurant. In fact, he just recently moved to Polk County from Indiana, and he moved here specifically to work at Disney World. Well, you know, back in the day, they arrested Willie Sutton for robbing banks. He was a notorious bank robber. And they asked Willie Sutton, "Hey, Willie, why do you rob banks?" And he said, "Well, that's where the money is." "Well, why do people like Paul Vail work at Disney?" "Because that's where the children are. And they want to be around children." He had 540 counts of child pornography from newborns to 8 years of age. He also had videos. And he was a sadomasochist. There was photographs where they had tied up babies in preparation for sexual battery. There was one where a child was just weeks old where they had the child's hands tied behind her back. Can you believe that? A very young child with her hands tied behind her back. There's videos of a 3 to 6 month old being sexually battered by an adult male. His wife asked, she's only been married to him for a year, "Did I marry a monster?" "Yes, you did. You married a monster." By the way, when we kicked the door in, he came to the door nude.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Sheriff Grady Judge out of Polk County, Florida. Now, in no way, shape, or form is this anything I even want to talk about on this show, but we have to. There's a fundraiser coming up. We've talked about it before. It's going to be in October 28th and 29th at the Kentucky Sustainable Living Conference. I'm going to be there. A number of others are going to be there. And there's also going to be that charity dinner we talked about where the proceeds are going to go to Vets for Child Rescue. I can't think of a more worthy cause. But right off the bat, Forrest, looks like you're let me make sure we unmute you here. Okay. Yeah. We got a representative from Vets for Child Rescue, Forrest Seeley. And Forrest, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, it's certainly the highest level of evil that I could think of. You know, our kids, our children are precious. They are our next, their future, our next generation. You know, I'm a father myself. I have three kids. Mine are all grown up. And it just baffles me. This type of behavior was never in my vision. It was never in when I was raising my kids when they were young. You know, I spent a lot of time as a father with my kids on my knees, in the bounce house, rough housing, you know, all the things that dads and moms do with their kids. And, you know, we had a few trips to the ER with a few casts and stitches and things like that. Those are the normal pains that we should anticipate with our kids. But this is just, it's mind blowing to me. And, you know, if you look at the big plan, that's what's happening to our country. This is the way you destroy our country from within. You do it generationally. And so that's, you know, this is evil. This is pure evil. This is a spiritual battle. And I believe that with all my heart, and all my meditation and prayers, that's what I conclude. I feel like that's the message that I'm receiving. It has to stop. We all have to step up and stop this as a society.
You know, when you get down to brass tacks on a lot of this stuff, most people fundamentally, they don't even want to believe this stuff is going on. And it's horrible. And that clip went on for quite a while. I just cut it there. I mean, the dreadful, unbelievable, demonic things that are going on with these kids, most Americans seem to pretend as if it's not going on. And they have to hear this. Folks, when you're out there and you're listening to this PimpCast, trust me, I didn't want to put that on there. And I debated whether or not I should play it, but you got to hear it, because there's so many of us out there that are thinking that this is just some far off thing. They don't stop to think for a minute that people in the highest levels of power in this country, and I dare say the world, are engaged in some of the most diabolical things that are beyond imagining for those of us out there. But one of the people that help the people kick in the doors right now is Forrest. And I want you to kind of give the lowdown on what it is Vets for Child Rescue does, and how getting money to you guys really matters and why it matters.
Well, if you look at how we started, a lifelong friend of mine, his name is Craig Sawyer. We grew up together in Texas, and he went into the Marines. He's 2 years older than I am. So he went into the Marines, and when he went into the Marines, right after that, I went into college, went to play football. And then Craig gets out of, while I was in college, he gets out of the Marines because he had an injury. And then one day he tells me, he says, "Hey, civilian life's not really serving me, so I'm going to go into the Navy." And I said, "Well, that's really odd," because he wanted to do Marine recon. And so he was telling me about this outfit called the Navy SEALs, and nobody had ever heard of them back in the 80s. And so he did. That's the path that he took. And fast forward, after spending 14 years chasing terrorists all over the world, 60 different countries, and these are the baddest of the bad, he was having a conversation with somebody in the intelligence community and talking about how prevalent this is in our county that we grew up in, which is north of Houston, which is Harris County, which is a huge hub for the human trafficking of humans, as well as kids. And he looked at him like he was crazy. So he started Veterans for Child Rescue to make a documentary, which is Contraland. You can actually watch it for free at ContralandMovie.com. It's a gut punch. And I talk to people all the time, and I get tired of them saying, "I can't watch this." You know what? If they can endure what they're going through, then you need to learn to watch it, because that's the only way it's going to stop, is if you get sick of it, as I'm sick of it, as Billy is sick of it, that's how we're going to stop this. So Craig, he sought out to just do the documentary, and I think that it weighed on his heart. God said, "Hey, you're not done." And God, he said the same thing to me. I was on the board of directors, and he basically cleaned a path that led me right back to coming on board to help out do this. So what we do now is we do a lot of, we do documentary work. We do counter trafficking operations with law enforcement. We video everything. We use that to spread our message and share what we're doing. We have a radio show that is airing, called Defending Our Children. It's airing twice a week. And we have a TV show which we have produced. It's completed. We're now shopping a place for it. So in essence, what we do is there's three things that we do. We raise money to do our operations. We run operations, and we spread the word. And because people need to hear what's happening, they need to understand how prevalent this is. It's before the borders really became open. It was a $38 to $50 billion industry, which is greater than all pro sports. And Billy, I think, in your neck of the woods, I think in your world, there's college teams and there's pro teams that you watch in sports. You know, here in Houston, I'm an Astros fan. I'm a Texans fan, and there's memorabilia everywhere. You go to the grocery store, it's everywhere. But to think that they're spending more dollars on human trafficking of kids, and yet most people don't know what to look for. So we're trying to expose that, because we believe sunlight is the best antiseptic for evil.
Contraland is a really good wake-up call to that. I think for a lot of people that really don't know the full extent, it's not gruesome at all, really. It's just giving you an eye opener, especially when Craig walked. Well, I'd hate to cut to the chase, but there's a point where there's confrontation and Craig's in it. Folks, you got to see it. And you got to find out up close and personal just who these people are and how they could be the guy next door. And the methods and the techniques and all the things they do to try to get in the front door with these little kids. I mean, so what are those methods, Forrest? I mean, what? How do they go about doing that? How do these predators get a hold of these kids?
Well, there's a couple of ways you can do it. You can actually make a purchase if you go out on the dark web. And we were on an operation here recently, and making a purchase of tens of thousands of dollars. It's not cheap. It's easy to make contact. You can actually make contact with pedophiles. I can, within 1 minute of conversation online, I could have 50 conversations initiated. It's ridiculous how easy it is to connect. Now, I don't care where you're at. So it always starts with some sort of a connection or conversation, and we execute those, and then we move from there. We have various different things that the way we operate. I don't want to give away our operational security, but we have various different types of missions that we do. That is Craig's, that's his specialty. He manages that. I ride along as a cameraman. We were using production and professional camera folks. I actually am a pretty good camera. I've been shooting film for most of my life, so video is just as easy. So I just made the business decision, instead of paying, you know, spending our dollars wisely, I run a camera, and I have another camera person that is a journalist that we utilize. So we basically do it in layers. I mean, we chase bad guys, we work with law enforcement, we interview law enforcement, we interview witnesses, we're out there looking for intel. And we have a broad scope that we're able to focus on. In essence, if there's evidence, everything we have to deal with has to be evidentiary. And so oftentimes we get a lot of tips that are not based upon evidence. They're based upon feeling. And that feeling could be very valuable. However, we have to find evidence to get law enforcement to enact on those things.
All right. So you got to do the legwork for a lot of the, before the pokey swings on in. So people have asked, you know, you're doing your thing. You capture these, or at least you participate. You're providing, I guess, you know, primarily intelligence. They swoop in there, they get the bad guys. What happens to the kids?
Well, depending on where we're at, and one of the things that, what makes us, I think, unique in what we do is we work with tier one special operators. So these are Delta, Navy SEAL. These are combat tested. These are guys that have been in battle. And this is important to understand, because I like to call them risk management, because they control chaos. They don't let things get out of hand. What a lot of people don't understand that's very important is, in order for us to acquire a kid, to take custody of a child, we have to have written permission from the parent. A lot of these kids, we don't know who their parents are. So that's why we operate with law enforcement. It's against the law. And what this is kind of, it's interesting. It's there for children's protection, which is counterproductive to what we're doing. You have to be a licensed peace officer in order to do that. So that's what we do. So when, in essence, when we do have the occasion, because a lot of our templates, we go after the traffickers and the pedophiles, which doesn't present as much of an opportunity for the kids. And I don't want to get into those details of that, because there's some operational security issues that would be,
sure,
I would be revealing. We're not afraid of it. We do focus on that sometimes. So when that happens, what we do is we work out a plan prior to, and it has a lot to do with what state you're in, what county you're in, what their rules of engagements are, what facility is in proximity. And so we seek those things out. The last operation we had, we actually were provided with two counselors from Homeland Security, which was really great to have. We did have an opportunity to purchase a child, but it, you know, it's like fishing. You get a hook, you fish on the hook, and you're reeling and reeling and reeling. You got the net out. Next thing you know, the line snaps, or you get hooked on a branch, or the fish breaks away. So, you know, those type of things happen. But what's really interesting that a lot of people don't understand is the aftercare in this chain of what's happening in the world that I live in. The aftercare is, number one, it's super important, but number two, it's lacking. There's not enough resources in that regard.
So what stage do you guys intervene? I mean, are there times where you guys, folks are going to want to know this, and I even hate to ask the question. So at what stage are you interdicting? I know you're getting these guys as they, you know, like in Contraland, you're getting them, you know, as they go on a hunt, and I guess I can call it that, these predators go on their hunt. Do you catch them in the middle of it? Have you ever caught, I mean, have you ever opened up a place and there's 15 kids in a dungeon? Or I've heard those sort of things from other people doing this kind of work. Things that I can't even repeat without being, you know, kicked off the internet. At what stage are you getting these guys? I mean, are you, I'll just leave it right there without giving away too many of the operational details, of course.
The things that I can share, it's traditionally, it's they're going to do the deed. Oftentimes they're in between victims. And keep in mind that the average pedophile has 70, a body count of 70 in their lifetime. But that's not the number of offenses. That's the number of body averages. And we got that through working with Dr. Judith Reisman, who has an organization that, if you see Contraland, she was in there being interviewed, but she was the one that hounded Dr. Alfred Kinsey, who had headed up the Kinsey Institute. Complete he was a pedophile. Sick.
Yeah,
he was a sicko. He was a pedophile. He was a sadomasochist in the 50s. He was funded by the CIA. Right before she passed off, passed away, she had revealed that the CIA was backing
absolutely
the experiments that the sexualization experiments they were doing at kids in the 50s. So, you know, we got that information from them as well. We try to get in. You know, we're hunting and searching. I mean, we have had some interesting opportunities where we've witnessed kids being loaded up in vehicles and that sort of thing. And we're investigating, you know, those sort of things that'll make you, you know, you're like, wow, that just makes no sense. And we're working with others. We have some folks that we are working with to do that. And I think for me, what's really difficult is the patience that you have to have. It's people get very angry, but I will tell you to do this work, you have to have, first of all, I think you have to be right with God. Okay. You have to be a spiritual warrior. You've got to be able to, and I can tell you, I've gone in a dark room and wept and cried out on moments when I couldn't take it. But usually when we're in the middle of it, I'm fine. You know, at the oddest times it hits you. There's some, you know, I know guys that have walked in on the middle of probably the worst thing you can imagine. And it's sickening to think that here you have a child that you're changing a diaper on and that you are going to sexualize them.
Well, just look at where we started this. Grady Judd was talking about what's happening down there in Disney, and don't get me started on that. Pedophile heyday down there. Tons and tons and tons of employees. I mean, I don't even want to go into the full extent of what I know, or what at least what I've been told and what I suspect. And that's at a place like Disney. Just like you said, you know, they go where the kids are. And I've seen something earlier today that just made my head turn. I mean, I don't know how... I mean, you've got to have I guess I couldn't do that work because honestly, I'd be pulling the Terminator on every single one of these clowns I see. So, you know, hat tip to all those special operators, everybody from Delta Force to SEALs, I'm sure there's Recon and Rangers, you know, you name it. They're all part of this team, I imagine. And what's the best way people can help you? Obviously, we're putting together this, you know, Kentucky Sustainable Living is putting together a charity dinner up there. We're trying to raise enough money to get you guys off and running on a couple of things, but for the people that can't attend and the people that want to contribute in any way possible, how can they do that?
Well, first you can go to our website and if you want to volunteer, you can volunteer. We have a lot of volunteers that, you know, keep in mind that for every, you know, one person on the ground, there's 10 people that are doing admin work. There's a lot of admin work that we have to do, but you can join if you want to be a volunteer. You don't have to. You can support us by connecting to us and watching our content, listening to our radio show. You can, there's a whole list of educational material and things that you can learn about how to help. You can support us by donations. We have a reoccurring model. We have a Patreon model. We are looking for more corporate sponsorships. You know, when I look at other organizations that are funding things that I, what I find to be detrimental to society, there's plenty of money there. But it, you know, it's amazing to me when you look at corporate sponsorship for things that we do, and we're not the only ones. I mean, there, I know plenty of guys in this space that they struggle as well. We're a small outfit. We spend our money wisely. I spend, you know, I'm the executive director, so I try to spend the money like it's my own. And that's earlier I mentioned that I'm a cameraman. Well, I was paying a professional cameraman to carry a camera into a dangerous situation, and it costs a lot of money. I said, well, I can do that. So there are things like that that we are doing to spend our money wisely. So yeah, those are some things that you can do, but you go to our website, get involved, start watching our live streams, listen to our radio show, watch Contraland, share Contraland with your friends and family, have a Contraland party, take pictures of the party, send it to us, and we'll give you a shout out. You know, that's, and grateful, we're grateful that you guys are going to do a fundraiser for us. I mean, that those are the things that help us when we run our operation. You know, basically what we do is I've got to find, first of all, we have to find I call it a fishing hole. There's plenty of fishing holes all over the United States. We find our fishing hole. We have to work with law enforcement and district attorney. And I have to fly people to the destination. I've got to put them up and feed them. And, you know, they're whatever additional cost. I mean, we don't, you know, we're not staying at the Ritz. We're not, you know, we're not driving Land Rovers. Again, I try to spend the money like it's my own. And that's what we do. We just run ops. We videotape everything. We do after action meetings and try to figure out how we can do it better. Every operation is different. It's really interesting because I always think that it gets easier each time. Well, in some ways it does, in some way it doesn't, because every time we get a new set of obstacles that we have to get around. So we're constantly, and we're talking to big brain people, especially in the technology space. So we're having conversations with big brain people. You know, we're actually talking about bringing some big brain people. These are technologists, because we have a lot of technology at our fingertips that we can use, and we want to optimize the utilization of that technology.
Well, I can't thank you so much for making the time to come on here with me, and also for your selfless work, because obviously nobody does this sort of thing to get rich. And, you know, thank Craig as well and all the other guys involved. Man, dreadful state of affairs, man. But thank you so much for being on with me, Forrest.
Well, Billy, I appreciate you having me on this show. And, hey, it's a privilege to do this. It's a privilege to serve. He gon' save us, left and right, squabbling while he got chips for your heads, calling him courageous. No bueno, I answer to no one, start calling me NATO. Digital cheese on the way, though. Get you a bowl of Alfredo. It's a woke summer, I need another booster. Before I hit the beach, BLM on my... All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I hope that was eye-opening.
Not the things we want to talk about, but you got to be made aware of it, y'all. You really do. Important stuff for these times. All right, so we're going to jump right into Q&A. So right off the bat, Colleen, hi, Billy, William, and Michelle. We have pigs that rotate over our small property in Texas Hill Country. It's rocky with dry spells here. We are unhappy with our current electrical fencing setup and would like to know what you would recommend. Okay, I'm familiar with that area of the country. And, okay, well, there's a lot of variables we don't yet have to work with.
We do have an Instagram reel, though. Like, if you go to our Instagram and check out our like reels, our recent reels, we actually have a tour of our mobile electric netting setup for the sheep over there. Well, that might give you some ideas or, you know, some possibilities for your setup.
Let me tell you what's available out there, because I'm not quite sure what you have. Okay, so you can run it like Joel Salatin, where they're essentially on 1 to 2 wires. If I'm not mistaken, one's about 6 inches above the ground. The other is about 12 inches above the ground. But what's critical is that you train your pigs long before you put them out there, because unlike every other animal, folks, this is important. When you train other animals to electric wire, their natural impulse is to recoil when they hit it. Not a pig. They will try to run through it. And so that's why you got to train small pigs and put something that they can't just get past. So if you just go, this is for other people out there that have never done this. When you train a pig, make sure they have something they can't get past. They're going to hit it, try to run through it, realize, okay, that sucks, getting Kentucky fried. Then they're going to pull off of it. But pigs are more intelligent, and it only takes a couple of times before they get the hint. Like, okay, from now on, when I hit this, I'm going to back up. But on your property, you could go with the 2-wire setup, because I don't know what you have. And then there's also the pig netting you can get from Premier One. They have a couple of different sizes. I like the one that's elevated off the ground a little bit more than the one that sits lower.
There's one that has like a non-insulated, wire or string?
String
or
at the bottom, yeah.
The bottom one's black, and that's non-insulated.
And I'm not a crazy fan about that, because they'll try to get under that, but when your bottom wire that's 6 inches above that ground is hot, well, they get to rooting up there, they get zapped, and they know what time it is, and then they back off of it.
After they're adapted to it, once they learn what the fence is and that it hurts when you touch it, then they only touch it like on accident after
that.
Yeah,
they'll hit it, and you'll hear them squeal. Trust me, you'll hear them.
Yeah.
Now, as far as your electrical setup and your fencing, as far as a charger, it's hard to say. Now, with pigs, because they may be a little more remotely, I always like DC setups. So direct current is what I mean there. And it could be AC, but I just go out there and just make sure I change the battery often enough, and that's how I deal with them. So, and then also, you remember the name brand we got out there right now?
Stay-Fix. So, but also another issue potentially where they are is grounding, right? Couldn't that be an issue?
Well, I was going to say that very thing, is that in your area, your ground conductivity may be weird. So if you got permanent ground rods, here's what I would recommend doing. And I would drive, depending on what it is, if it's you may have a grounding issue, at least 3 ground rods, and then put number 6 soft drawn copper between them. If you can't get down in that rocky soil, you can always lay them sideways. You can find online how to do that. And you could lay them, you could dig out just enough as far as you can, lay them sideways. And then you may even have to, like in the desert environments, we've had to sometimes put salt water around it to give it a little better ground conductivity. Your grounding, because I don't know the nature of your electric setup the way you described the question here. So if you're in one of those arid places, 3 ground rods, number 6 soft drawn copper between them, you're going to want to use a split bolt or some way to put that on there, exothermically weld it between those rods and 6 feet between the rods at the very least. In a very dry place, you may need even more. But grounding, like William said, seriously.
You're going to have to back this one up.
Yeah. I don't know the full extent of what the problem is.
So we gave you everything.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm helping other people out there that didn't know they ought to ask the question. So if you have a more specific, Colleen, let me know. I kind of gave you a shotgun blast when you may needed a rifle. I'm not sure what it was, but I was thinking with a question like this,
right?
This is a big question for a lot of people, and grounding is a big problem for a lot of folks. You don't live in a temperate rainforest like we do.
Yeah. Also, did you know one of our more popular videos it's titled Middle-Aged Man Pounds Ground Rod with a Water Bottle.
Yeah, and there's some haters on that one, boy.
There are, but it's just shocking that that's one of our more popular videos. I got one from Flyover Joe on the Fountain app. Just heard a clip of y'all on this podcast. Keep up the great work. God bless you, man. And the podcast, I think, is it's Bards FM. Plato's Cave and Memory Holes. That's the name of the episode.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, they shouted us out.
Who did?
Bards FM. It's another podcast. They're on episode like 2000 or something like that. So that's pretty cool.
Well, we'll have to tell them a thank you. I had no idea what that is or who that
Bards
is.
FM, like B-A-R-D.
I've heard of Bards FM, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they just shouted us out. They played a clip of us, apparently. I'll have to check it out. I just saw the link, obviously. But pretty cool.
Shout out to Bards FM.
Yeah. Check them out.
Yeah, y'all, the number one way this thing is even going to get out there is ultimately through word of mouth. So, if what we do is of any value to you, tell other folks about it. This is how we're going to have to get the word out regarding a lot of this stuff. Okay, Robert says, just received our order of 10 comfrey sets, but it's hitting 109 today in Abilene, Texas. And he's wondering whether or not he should wait. Okay, so in our property back in Texas, we've harvested it in the worst of nasty hot weather. You can wait a little bit if you want, but if you do put it out there, you're going to have to keep it watered, and you're definitely going to have to keep it mulched there.
Yeah.
But you're going to need to keep it watered, definitely.
I would just make sure it's watered and then mulched with the leaves that you probably cut off after harvesting.
They got it from us.
Oh,
so
okay.
So you're going to need to put some kind of mulch down there. Make sure you don't put it in potting soil or anything like that. Remember, lay it sideways, keep that stuff watered. You're going to have to hit it pretty often. And in fact, in a place like that, it might serve you better. I'd take half of them, see which ones do better. Put some that get partial shade and put some in the areas, because some of the folks in Florida run into that. They don't realize in Florida, they think it's the soil, but it's not. It's 9 times out of 10 that you put it in open sun when it really ought to be in speckled sunshine.
Dappled sun, especially in extreme areas like that.
Yeah, so you're going to want to try it. Now, we have some in open sun out there in Texas, and it does just fine, but we've adapted it to that.
Yeah, that comment also made me realize or remember how much I dislike the Texas weather and how nice this 80 degrees feels outside.
Yeah, man, people think it's a sweltering nasty, and it's like 80 here. I'm like, man, you do not know hot.
Yeah, we moved here, 4 years ago? I haven't been hot in 4 years.
No, ain't really been cold either.
No, it really hasn't. Got one from Strider47 on the Fountain app. Great points about checking your preps, especially cross-training, which is easily applied to the simplest daily tasks. Bugging out is the big picture, but what about when your spouse gets hospitalized and now you've got to take care of the kids, cooking, bills, work, etc.? Insight from the great pimp minds is always appreciated, especially if we need to learn more about 60 hertz, you dig? Hashtag wish a pimp would, hashtag tip a pimp, hashtag catch Jack. P.S. I'll shoot you an email about shirts soon. Cool.
Yeah, like old Strider.
Yeah.
Thanks as always, but he's right. You know, we got to have that redundancy and cross-train on everything.
Wish a pimp would.
That's how we do it. Yep. Elevate that pimp hand and unleash on these different tasks. Remember, pimp stands for permaculture is my passion. Y'all, please don't write to me about, I don't know why you're calling yourself. Look, okay, I dig it. I hear it. But
nobody
that's
cares.
What it is. It in the words of another famous pimp, it do what it do, baby. I think he was a real, permaculture is my passion anyway. Somebody was wondering, Mike was wondering, where do you get the Don't Target My Kid t-shirt? We got it from Officer Tatum. He has a YouTube channel. He's got some other cool shirts over there too.
On the heels of that, Kentucky Sustainable Living commented on episode 105 on the YouTube channel. So check us out there. Thanks for wearing the t-shirts I had done. I appreciate it. Thanks, Colby, for buying tickets to the dinner. The Compost Pedophiles t-shirt.
Yeah, man. We got a lot of feedback on that one.
So I wore it to jujitsu practice the other day, just kind of testing to see how people would react, to see if I need to hold on to that rear naked choke a little bit longer or not. Everybody wanted that shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was funny because a lot of folks that were writing in, that's been a really popular question here lately as far as, where do I get that shirt?
Yeah. I'm going to get a patch for my hat.
Well, I wore that. So check this out. I wore that Officer Tatum shirt right after I made that film or that last video where I was wearing it.
Yeah.
So I went to town. And I'm going into Lowe's, and I had to pick up something. A lot of times, I forget about what shirt I'm wearing. Yeah. I wear it, and I don't really think nothing about it. I'm going into Lowe's, and everybody's staring at me all weird when they said, don't target my kid. And I'm like, okay, it's just a bunch of weirdos. And then I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe they just... So I'm halfway through the store. I'm trying to buy wire that is behind lock and key. The guy gets over there. One of them wouldn't help me. Says he couldn't get the thing open. I'm like, what? You work here? I said, well, hey. And he's like walking. I'm like, well, can you call somebody else? Is there anybody in this store that can get inside here? So next thing you know, this other old boy comes walking down. And you could tell, and I'm oblivious that I got this shirt on.
Yeah.
He comes up to me and he's like, hey, what's up? Oh, yeah. And I'm as off put as the other guy was as cool as this guy was. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I don't know what this dude's problem is.
Let's
okay.
suit up and go to the one in Nashville, Dad. Let's go to the Lowe's in Nashville.
That's where I was.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, it was at that one. Yeah, that's the one where I was. And this guy, he comes up. He's like, yay, my man, you know? And then I'm like, yeah, I need this number 12 and I need some number 10. And so I'm like, what's the deal with all this being locked up? He says, man, we got people running all over the place. He said, man, they're just walking in every single day, stealing everything, just walking out. I said, where are the cops? I said, why don't y'all hire a cop? He said, cops won't come, dude.
Well, man, there was one security guard. It was at Whole Foods. I was laughing. Dude, who on earth is going to get stopped by this dude?
Well, they had some little marchy.
Yeah, they hired one of the marchies that were over there stealing. Was like, hey, we'll just give you the food if you stand here with this flashlight.
Well, no, I noticed they hired the big black guy last time I was in there. Yeah, this brother looks like he'd kill somebody over an $8 bet. Man, they got this. I'm telling you, he is a hard looking. I mean, like he would just murder you, dude, for the change in your pocket. I mean, he's all tatted up. Got, you know, one, I mean, is dude, I swear this dude has a monocle. And wait,
does he have a monocle or is his face just stuck like that?
I don't know, dude. It's like his eye is cricked like he's got a monocle that fits in its place.
Yeah.
Like
an invisible one?
Yeah, it's like a monocle, like it's made for his eye.
Like he looks like Debo?
Yeah, dude, and he looks like he would just murder you where you stand. I'm like, okay. I see, you know, all these woke people, they didn't mind getting this big black dude to go work the entrance of this. Ain't nobody stealing nothing out of there. I guarantee all that's just came to a halt. Anyway, back to
he's stealing groceries off people's carts, probably.
Yeah. He's like,
those are my chips. My chips, fat yeah, boy.
Give them back, fat boy. Anyway, dude, we get over there. This guy, I can't figure out for the life of me why he's just all palling around with me. And I'm like, he says, well, okay, you ready to go to the front? And I'm like, well, yeah, you can just go ahead and stick it right there in that cart. I got more stuff to get. He says, well, I'll just, you know, walk around with you. I'm like, what? And I'm like, okay, man, this is just too weird, man. Why are you walking around with me? I'm like, I'm kind of doing this intuitively. I just need to get a few things. He says, well, I can't just give you this wire. I'm like, I'm paying for it. He says, look, man, every time we give somebody wire, they go walking out with it. And I'm like, he says, my manager. I said, oh, okay, I understand. So I'm like, okay, I got other things to get, but it's not urgent. I'll just come by another time. It wasn't until I get up to the front. I get up to the self-checkout because there ain't no tellers in there at all.
Oh, yeah.
And so I get up to the self-checkout thing, and there's a Middle Eastern dude named Ahmed. I can tell by his shirt. It's his first day there, and I know because some lady's trying to get help. He says, look, it's my first day. And so I get up to the front, and then I see this other guy that looked like Daryl Hall from Hall & Oates, the one I was going to strangle that last time I was in there. Yeah. The one that was being cute, not waiting on me because he didn't like the T-shirt I had. And he's again? Like, well, he saw me, and he cut his hair this time. He saw me, and I know he was thinking, oh, not this again. He's sitting here thinking, and I look him dead in his eyes, and he turns his head. And then it was about that time I looked down, and I realized what shirt I got on. And I'm realizing, oh, this dude thinks I am about to murder somebody up in here. So long story short, I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to have it go so long. But anyway, long story less long. Get out of there, and then I realized what shirt I got on. And I'm at the one in Nashville. So, yeah, son, we ought to go into town and represent.
You know, we should start filming these reactions. We should start, like, figuring out, like, a hidden camera type thing and just filming these reactions.
I want to go into that one place, man, that mistreated me that time because I wouldn't wear a mask. And I'm going to walk in there and say, I'm going to do what Hotep Jesus did that time, say, hey, I'm here for my reparations cookies.
I don't think they're open anymore.
Oh, really? They were too woke?
I don't know. Yeah, it's like they shut down for renovations or something, and they haven't opened since.
Well, you know what I've noticed, and I said this before in some of the earlier podcasts, a lot of these wokies put themselves out of business because once the mandates dropped, which, by the way, they were never lawful to begin with, they kept on with them.
Yeah.
So people were like, well, screw you. I'm not going in there if I got to wear a mask. And they were doing it like, oh, well, business is falling apart for me because I'm so deep and I'm just out of an abundance for caution. I'm making everybody wear a mask. And then you go woke, go broke, no hope, no soap, end of the rope. I'm glad you went out of business, okay? Maybe you'll wake up now.
Yeah. One time, Kendra and I, we went out to eat. This was when Kendra, I think, first... It was near the beginning whenever she first moved here. We went out to eat, and we went out. I'm going to name the place. We went out to Asheville Chocolate. There was nobody in the doggone store other than the people that were working. We walk in, and they were like, oh, you got to wear a mask. This was after the mandates. This was after all the garbage. And they're like, oh, yeah, you got to wear a mask. There is nobody in there. There was nobody in there.
They pulled that same thing at that one bakery in Weaverville.
Yeah.
They walk in there, and boy, I made it very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because here's what I pulled. I'm like, okay, I don't ever play that race card, but I'm like, I know what the wokies I'm dealing with here. So I'm waiting in line. Everybody else has a mask on, and I ain't wearing no mask. I'm like, okay, I'm done with the theater. I'm not playing this game. Once I realized this thing was a big hoax, I'm like, I'm not playing along. So I'm in there, and I'm like, I know it's a private business, but they're gonna make it uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I get in there, and back when I was still able to eat fantastic pastries and stuff like that, I'm waiting in line, and then this one guy, a little Marchie, comes up. Excuse me, sir, you're gonna have to put on your mask. And I'm saying, no, it's all good. I'm exempt. Oh, okay. I got to get my manager. I said, but I'm exempt, and because I had my chiropractor write me an exemption letter. So she gets out there and she says, excuse me, sir. We have a mask policy in here. I said, well, I have an exemption. I have it. And I had it right there in my cargo pocket. So here you go. I said, well, you know, out of abundance, we'll have to wait on you outside. And then that's when I said, oh, outside? You mean, oh, so we just went. And then this is where I raised my voice. And I'm like, I don't even care. I'm like, oh, so... And in the effort to be woke, you actually made yourself Jim Crow. So you're telling me I gotta go outside and wait on the sidewalk like this is like 1960? Is that what you? And then all of a sudden she's, sir. And then they get up there. Oh, we'd like to offer everything you want on the house.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I want everything I want, but I'm paying for it. I insist on it. I will not take your charity. I got the money to pay for everything I'm after. And so, yeah. At your money. And then I noticed one of these little Marchies, when they turn their back, when they're getting your stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're doing stuff to your, she stuck her finger into the, whatever it was I was getting for your mom. I was supposed to get a half pound of some chicken salad your mom wanted or whatever, in addition to the other things. Well, there was about a quarter pound in there, but I couldn't tell until I was 10 miles down the road. So I was trifling enough to turn back around. And then right before I went in there, I was like, okay, the place is already closed. Because I was about to really get... I'm like, okay, so in order to make this happen, I'm all about a business saying, look, I don't want you in here for this reason. I'm all for that. You don't want anybody in there for whatever reason as a business owner. I'm completely cool with that. But if you pretend to be woke, I'm going to make you earn it. You're going to throw me out of this place. You're going to earn that wokeness. So when I get in there and I say, so this is just like, so you're telling me we've gone back to, I mean, I literally raised my voice in there, and then all of a sudden, they'd start falling over themselves. I'm like,
I just can't wait to use the line. I can't wear a mask and carry a weapon at the same time.
Well,
I can't wait to use that line.
Oh, yeah, that's another one. I can't
carry this humongous gun and wear a mask at the same time. Yeah,
like, I can't carry this Walker Dragoon up in here. No, I don't think so. No, I'm telling you, next time they pull this mask mandate, and they're almost certainly going to do it, look, there's going to be some viral videos out there. I can guarantee you that. And it's going to be funny. All right. So,
I don't think they're
going
to make it to YouTube. They're going to get flagged.
Man, this show went so far off the rails, man.
You got one from Big Daddy Don. Rapid fire comments. Yes to the Pimp Daddy Electricity Pimp Cast. Yes to the Pimp Daddy History Lessons. Why men will not take action. Maybe because we're tired of talking about it. Let's go do something about it. Finally, Billy, have you landed on a topic that I know? Billy, you have landed on a topic that I know a little bit about. In the corporate world, it's called succession planning, business continuity, and single points of failure, SPOF. Nobody wants to talk about it until there is a disaster and then it is too late, or you spend a ton of resources recovering. Now, this type of planning can get crazy. It is best to plan for what is probable and not what is possible. Great pimp cast. They just get mo better every time.
Thanks. Word. Nephew.
Got another one from Chris Stubbs, or I think it's Chris Stubbs, the Stubbs 97. I think his name's Chris. And why was the second person involved in the OKC bombing never named, photo released, and anything else? Aired once on the news, and that was it. They then strictly struck to showing McVay. They did the we act same thing when the FBI was caught having informants at January 6th who were shown once on the news and then their names and faces were removed. If you looked into the guy, he was an ex-government worker and well as trained at the FBI.
Okay, let me jump back to that OKC thing, okay? I grew up in OKC as a kid. Check this out. A couple of things you didn't know about that. Timothy McVeigh's lawyer wrote a book called Others Unknown. It's on the bookshelf out there right now. And he thought it was absolute, Stephen Jones was his name, if I remember right. He thought it was laughable that they were actually going to say McVeigh, even though you had people like Jane Graham and a number of others said McVeigh was not alone. They were putting C4 out in the garage. It was M112 C4, the whole nine yards. And she thought it was putty, but, you know, long story short. Strangely enough, all the footage from the Murrah building and the Ryder tapes just came up missing. Huh. Another coincidence, huh? And then in addition to all that, one of my brothers was on the top of Baptist Hospital when that thing went off. They were looking for suspect number two. They picked my brother up. He fit, he fit the description. And of course they let him go because they had their lone nut assassin. And, man, I could do long, man, I can go long and hard on some.
Man, I can't believe it. He never told me that.
Who? Oh, yeah. So, anyway, he was one of the people they were initially looking as a suspect, even though he wasn't anywhere near there. He was on top of Baptist Hospital when the whole thing jumped off. But the point of it being, once again, everything they tell you about all these false flag, and look, you couldn't even talk about this in good company, Oklahoma City. Couldn't talk about it right afterwards, even though those of us out there knew it was a hoax from the word go. 9/11, for years, you couldn't talk about it. Nobody wanted to hear it. And then, every other thing that happens is a false flag. It doesn't make sense. People are slowly but surely starting to first say, ding, 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 false flag.
You notice the people with 9/11 you can't talk about it with are the ones who probably suffered the most for it, like during it.
Well, it's like talking to a soldier, and I might irritate some soldiers out there, some of my best friends, and you know who they are. Try to tell them that this whole thing was a false flag on 9/11. Try to tell them that everything they supposedly fought for in the Middle East was just so rich people can get richer. Try to tell them that, even though all the evidence, it's unimpeachable at this point. It was everything was one giant scam. It was another Vietnam all over again. And nobody wants to talk about it. And we're going to fall for the next. What gets me is that every disaster, everybody says, we will never forget. I remember that right there in Oklahoma City, written, spray painted on the walls. We will never forget. You forgot a year later, and you didn't even want to hear it. In fact, on 9/11, the committee, man, I wish I could remember the name of it, on 9/11 to the day. That's when the Oklahoma City grand jury came out with what really happened in Oklahoma City. Even though they screwed over one of the grand jurors named Hoppy Heidelberg. I knew the guy. Or I didn't know him, but I met him a couple of times. And even though, does it seem a little bit curious that those results came out on the same exact day as 9/11? Huh.
Yeah.
A little bit curious. And there's a number of other curious things that went on 9/11 too.
One thing that was curious during 9/11, I was in second grade at the time. And the next day, the teachers were asking us, what all we thought actually happened. Like, they were all thinking, like, they were all asking us, like it was a thing where the teacher like stood up in the front of the class and then like asked us all what we thought had happened on 9/11. And I mean, and you know, remembering some of the responses, those were more accurate than what we're told about like the official story. Like some people, like I remember everybody thinking that the like a bomb went off like during 9/11, like us kids, I mean.
Yeah,
like
check out William. Yeah, check out William Padilla, who was in the bottom of the, man. We ought to do a whole show on this stuff, but son, let's move on.
Got one from B. Dalia. I second locals. I would happily support y'all on that platform.
We'll have to look into it.
Yeah, and then I got another one from Janu. Did I hear William say Emily is on a pregnancy diet? Yes, she is, because she is pregnant, and we got a baby on the way. And then Esoteric Refuse says, yup, definitely buying that t-shirt, that one from Kentucky Sustainable Living.
Yeah, yeah, everybody go out there, support them. They do good stuff. Can't wait. I mean, you know, it's funny. Every one of those videos where I had, where I wore that shirt and where I wore Officer Tatum's shirt, huh, lo and behold, subscriptions drop every single time I do something like that. How about that? That's why I'm saying 100,000 means nothing to me, because I know that whenever I do these videos, I'm not worried about running out the wrong people. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you. I'm more focused on getting the right people, and everything else kind of falls in line. As long as I can stay on that business model, I know I'm doing the right thing.
Yep.
All right, y'all. Hopefully this has been a blessing to you. Remember, keep your eyes out for all these pedophiles out there that are lurking, it seems, everywhere. Just keep an eye on the kids, y'all. All right, until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell, and if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.